everybody. Welcome back to the All Things Sports Podcast. My name is Matthew Gordon. It is the season five premiere, and we have a guest that was just on recently, but I had to get him right back to talk some Commanders football, some NFL draft. JP Flame, host of Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, is back. JP, how we doing?
I'm doing good, man. Honored that I'm part of a premiere. That was big time.
it's almost there with Sports Junkies, but you can slap this on your resume for sure. You are a premier host, so welcome. It is a pleasure to have you. And honestly, let's jump right into it. The NFL draft is approaching. A lot of big moves have happened since the last time we spoke on the Commander's end. A lot of signings. You know, the Justin Fields trade, all of that. So let's start from the top. Let's talk about these Commanders signings. I want to know your thoughts on the main ones. And, you know, obviously they made about like 10 or so, maybe a little bit less free agent signings. They include Bobby Wagner, Austin Eckler, Marcus Mariota, Zach Ertz. What do you think about these signings? For me, I'm like a little confused, but obviously I need to know what your takes are.
Well, let's start kind of big picture, right? I think you have to start with the fact that they have a GM in charge now. And it remains to be seen. We'll go through some of these moves, whether they are the right moves. But this is different than the Ron Rivera era. Ron Rivera was a coach who was really in charge of everything. They had a GM by name, but Ron always said that he had the final personnel call, and they made so many bad decisions. If you remember early on, he brought in a lot of Carolina Panthers players, and it just kind of went downhill from here. The season was awful. They won four games. That roster was dreadful. They are turning over this roster as much as possible. So it actually was far greater than 10 moves. One thing that I would say overall is, a lot of these guys might not be here 3 years from now, like big picture. But what they do is they kind of raise the floor of the team. I think simply by filling in the holes that they have with really competent players and better coaching, this would be a far more competitive team. We'll talk about the draft later. So let's go through it. Defensively, this was a team, the Washington Commanders, that finished dead last in defense this year. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a team worse. You can look at any metric. They were a god-awful defense. So what did they have on that defense worth saving? Really two players, Jerron Payne and Jonathan Allen, the interior offensive defensive line. They needed to figure out what was happening on the edge. They traded away Montez Sweat for draft choices and Chase Young for another draft choice. So even before the draft, they picked up not one, not two, but three guys. Armstrong, who Dan Quinn coached in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And then they picked up Farrell, who Peters knew from San Francisco. And they picked up, who am I missing? They picked up a third edge guy, but filled in holes. And then you mentioned Bobby Wagner. This is a team that hasn't had linebackers really worth a damn for at least a decade. You could probably go back to London Fletcher, right? Yeah. So the kid that they brought in from Carolina, he may be one of the guys who will be part of their long-term plan, Luvu. Not anybody that anybody really knew much about, but when you look into who he is and what he's done the last couple of seasons and some of these advanced metrics, he's one of the top linebackers in the game. And then they bring in the leading tackler in the NFL. Yes, he's a little long in the tooth. He's 33, and Bobby Wagner. But so right there, if you talk about defensive line and linebackers, that's five new guys. They also brought in Jeremy Chinn, a safety, who was the runner-up, ironically, to Chase Young for Rookie of the Year, his rookie season. So I think defensively, a major upgrade in talent from what they had. Okay. And it's kind of out with the old, in with the new, right? They're turning over this roster. They realize this is a 4-13 team last season under Ron Rivera. Let's get rid of all these bums and bring in some new guys.
Yeah.
And Dan Quinn, hopefully, will coach them up. On offense, I don't think they made as many big moves. They picked up a couple of offensive linemen, a starting center, also from Dallas, who Dan Quinn knew,
and
who was in the Pro Bowl a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
And then they picked up a guard from Kansas City who didn't play much during the regular season, but then he started because of injury in the championship game and the Super Bowl. So that addresses the interior offensive line. The only guy worth a damn on the offense was Sam Cosmi, who was the right guard. So now they add another guard in the center. They got to figure out tackle. Okay. They got to figure out the outside, but they have the draft picks. Mariota is going to be a backup. They traded away Sam Howell. In the Sam Howell deal, they upgraded their draft picks, went from a sixth to a fifth and a fourth to a third. So they've got nine draft choices, which I think is the second most in the NFL. There's one team that has 10, but they've got nine draft picks. And they still have a lot of holes to fill. But I think overall, a very long-winded answer, I think Peters, the GM, went about filling some holes so that now in the draft, they're not as desperate to fill certain spots because they've brought in some edge guys. They brought in some linebackers. They've addressed the secondary a little. They've addressed at least the interior offensive line. You mentioned Eckler. They got a running back. They got a tight end in Zach Ertz, right? Now maybe after they hopefully draft a quarterback at number two, they can go best player available. They do need a tackle desperately. But other than that, they might be able to go have a little position flexibility. So overall, right now, I like what Adam Peters has done.
You convinced me on the defensive end. I will say, you know, when you look into these advanced metrics for these defensive players, including Luvu, not a lot of people know his name, but you're talking about these stats that are clearly impactful. And you definitely convinced me on the defensive end. And the offensive end, I get what they were doing. I understand that they were also trying to bring in veteran leadership for these young guys that they're about. Like, for example, I'm assuming Mariota they wanted to keep Mariota over Howell because of the veteran experience that Mariota has. And Ertz, same thing. But the production from Ertz and Eckler, I'm just a little worried about. Eckler did not have a great season last year. Ertz did not either. These two are both going to have pretty big roles in the offense. I guess it's not necessarily as important, but that's why I was a little hesitant on loving the moves in the offensive end.
Totally get that. Ertz has been injured a lot the last couple seasons, but it also comes down to coaches and familiarity, right? Mm-hmm. So Cliff Kingsbury coached him in Arizona. So is he going to be the number one tight end? I doubt they really believe he's kind of the number one tight end. He's been good when he's been healthy, but it's been several years.
Right.
I think they wanted somebody in the tight end room that knows the system. And then Mariota just played under the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, who is now with Washington. I'm forgetting his name I think it's Brian Johnson. I might be, I might be botched name, but again, it's familiarity in that he just coached him. He's not the offensive coordinator. I think they gave him the title of associate head coach, passing game coordinator, but it's bringing in somebody who knows your system that's in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they end up drafting Drake May, probably would have been awkward. Drake May and Sam Howell apparently were friends, like both young, both Carolina. Like they probably wanted to have a veteran quarterback for whoever they draft, whether it's Jaden Daniels at number two or Drake May. So I think that's the Mariota play.
And speaking of Drake May versus Jaden Daniels, that seems to be the kind of like debate. Now that we're a little deeper into the draft, what is your updated answer? Is it the same? Who do you think they're going to take?
So I told you before, I'm certainly no college scouting guru, but we did a bit on the Junkies because you get so many different opinions from all these different experts. You know, you'll have somebody on TV like Tim Hasselbeck. Loves Drake May. And then you'll hear somebody else like, oh, I don't think Drake May is any good. I love Jaden Daniels. So we did a bit where we each on the show were tasked, let's actually watch film, you know, whether it's highlights or whatever, just watch each of the guys and rank them. And I had Drake May ahead of Jaden Daniels simply because when I watched the film, he's bigger. And it seemed like Jaden Daniels was unbelievable. Like if you watch a highlight reel of Jaden Daniels, just Google Jaden Daniels highlights.
Yeah.
Great throws downfield all over the place. Obviously can run, but it seemed like he had a perfect pocket in all the passes.
Yeah.
And I think Drake May with his size, you know, he had a couple of plays. If you watch him where he did have plays downfield with guys about to hit him. And I just think that's going to be more of the NFL and, you know, but I don't think they can really go wrong with either, unless it's the 2022 draft. You know, I don't know if you've seen some of these things, like just 2 years ago, the draft, pretty much everybody's been a bum.
Yeah,
You know, the
definitely.
Kenny Pickett draft.
Yeah.
The Kenny Pickett draft, all these guys have been traded and nobody's really worked out. So hopefully the 2024 draft different for the Commanders.
Yeah, and the one thing I'll say about Drake May versus Jaden Daniels, I have been on the Jaden Daniels train this entire time, but I've been watching and watching more and more of Drake May. He fits these tight windows in so perfectly. It's like really, that's something you can't teach. He just seems like it almost seems like he's the better thrower and Daniels is the more dynamic athlete. I don't know. I again am not a draft
Right.
evaluator, like talent evaluator like you. But I don't know. I think they're gonna take May from the fan perspective. I mean, I believe that based off of the mocks that I'm seeing and what I'm looking on Twitter at, whatever, it seems like they're gonna go with May. Personally, I think both are great options for them. I think the drop off after Daniels is interesting though, because I think then it's like McCarthy, Penix, Bo Nix. I think.
I go back and forth though, because we had Dan Quinn on the show a few weeks ago and we played word association with him and we threw in the three quarterbacks. And when we got to Jaden Daniels, he had a little pause and he was like, game changer. And it really jumped out to a couple of us. It was like, whoa, like I can't even remember what he said for Drake May. I think it was athletic. I think he said for Caleb Williams, DC, which was felt like kind of a cop out. Oh, wow, he's from DC. And then he goes game changer. I was like, whoa. And like when he said that, I was like, they're drafting Jaden Daniels. But then I go back and forth because I see some of this stuff online, but nobody knows what Adam Peters is thinking, right? So going back to your first question, this is different. Dan Quinn said right off the bat that somebody asked him, well, if you guys see differently on a player, who gets, you know, how do you decide who you're going with? And he's like, oh, Adam Peters is making the call. Like, this is a different era. This is on the GM. And nobody really knows what's inside his head. And and I've said, when you look at these two players, I think it's a difference of production versus projection. Production, there's no doubt Jaden Daniels had the best season this year, an unbelievable year, right? Wins the Heisman. Only threw four interceptions this year. But I think if they're going for projection, they may see a guy in Drake May who's played less college football, who's younger, who they're projecting out 2 or 3 years from now will be the better quarterback. I think it was Dan Orlovsky on ESPN said that he could see Drake May along the lines of Jordan Love, who sat for 2 years, and then this year Jordan Love was pretty nasty. He had a really good
Really
year.
good.
So Drake May only has, you know, 2 years of college football. He's the bigger guy. He's more the prototype size. He comes from a very athletic family. His brother played basketball at UNC. Like all the Mays are really good. Seems to come from like a solid family. Like it might be like part of me thinks if you take Jaden Daniels, you may get more of a high early, kind of like we got with RG3
Right.
early. But is that the better play long term? I don't know. Like, you know, some of these analysts say that if you look at Drake May, you're right. He makes some tight window throws, but he also misses some easy throws. Like he's a little erratic. They say his footwork's not great, whatever. But take Josh Allen on the Buffalo Bills, one of the best quarterbacks in the game, right? Easily top five. Some people say it's Patrick Mahomes, then Josh Allen. Well, Josh Allen struggled as a rookie. And if you look at his completion percentage, in college, it wasn't that great. His rookie season, it wasn't very good. His second season, it got better. His third season was excellent. So we don't know. Are they going to go with, in my mind, the projection? Like if they go with Drake May, I think that's more of a long-term play. And if they go with Jaden Daniels, it's like, well, this guy, defenses are not going to be prepared for that dual threat.
Interesting point because well, I guess my question is, if the Commanders do end up taking Drake May, do you see Mariota starting?
Wow, I hadn't really thought about it. I don't just I feel like if you take somebody at number two, they should be starting in week one. I think that would be hard to put him on the bench. But maybe you might be onto something that if they took Drake May with Mariota, maybe he starts five or six games. I couldn't see them sitting him an entire season,
Oh, no.
because Marcus Mariota's not. Look, Jordan Love was in a different situation, right? Jordan Love was sitting behind a Hall of Fame MVP quarterback.
Yeah.
So you groom him behind an MVP, a Hall of Famer, is a little bit different than grooming behind Marcus Mariota.
It's just like an interesting because like your point, it's correct. I mean, we're talking about QB progression and development in general. And they did just sign Mariota. I don't think they would. I think they'd be stupid to not throw Drake May in right away. But it is an interesting thought. It's like, what if Mariota starts week one? Like we've seen it in the past. I don't know if I can think of any specific situation at the top of my head, but there's been
Well, what
times.
I would say is a few years ago, and somebody that Drake May has been comped to is Justin Herbert. And a few years ago, when Justin Herbert was a rookie, the initial plan of the Chargers was they had Tyrod Taylor, and they were going to go with Tyrod Taylor, and then he got hurt. And so Justin Herbert came in and then was fantastic right off the bat. So there was no looking back. It was kind of a bad luck situation for Tyrod because I think he had a punctured lung or something like that. And they ended up going Justin Herbert. So, plans can change, right? I think plans change. Look, in Washington, they changed. I think in season two with Ron Rivera, he said he was going to play like the patient game, and then they won a couple games and he changed his tune. I mean, it happens all the time in the NFL. But I do think if Jaden gets drafted, he's played a lot of college football, right? He played at Arizona State, then a couple seasons at LSU. I feel like he undeniably would be the starter in week one. But with Drake May, I think he might be onto something. They might have kind of a more of a long-term play. Fans would not love it. I will tell you this, by doing a radio show in DC, it's not going to happen because Justin Fields has been traded. But they would love Caleb. That would be exciting. Jaden Daniels would be exciting. I think the overwhelming feeling of DC sports fans, it would be kind of like a, oh, we're going with Drake May. Like it wouldn't be a super excited deal.
Yeah, and I definitely want to talk about what's going on outside of the Commanders, but I did want to touch on the Dan Quinn interview. I think that's something that you don't necessarily have every day or get it to do every day. How was the interview overall? Any key takeaways from Dan Quinn? I mean, we raised an interesting point about his language, about Jaden Daniels. Did anything else kind of stick out to you about anything he said in particular?
I mean, look, we've had coaches on for years and years, and I don't usually put that much stock into it. Like, it all really comes down to wins and losses. And coaches have different personalities, and people can win, like being a Bill Belichick type, or they can win being a super fiery head coach. I mean, I definitely like his energy. He comes in, I'm impressed with something that he apparently helped him get the job. He said that when he lost his job in Atlanta, he really kind of did a self-evaluation and talked to other people too about, well, what were kind of the holes in my game? What did I do wrong? And it seems like he figured some of those things out. And look, you have to commend him. He's built a what looks to be a really good staff, especially compared to Rivera's staff. It seems like, more ex, like Kingsbury's next head coach, people that have really good experience, people that have been coordinators. The staff is elevated. He seems to have a plan in place. And then specifically, he talked about the type of players that they want in Washington. And it seems like he really is a guy who wants like really explosive players that can make explosive plays both on defense and on offense. It made me feel like he's kind of okay. He didn't say this, but he's kind of okay with the bend but don't break defense as long as you can get the turnovers. And if you look at what happened in Dallas when he was coordinator, the last two seasons, they've had guys who've had tons of interceptions. So it was Diggs 1 year and it was Bland this year. So maybe he'll find a way to unlock Emmanuel Forbes.
I was gonna say, I would be so happy to see that. I just don't know about that. But interesting. Okay. So let's shift from Commanders to the rest of the NFL. Obviously, the most recent and the hottest news right now is Justin Fields only getting traded for a 6th round pick to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Basically, it leads the Chicago Bears to drafting what we think is going to be Caleb Williams. Were you surprised about Fields only yielding a 6th round pick?
In the end, not as much, but
Interesting.
I think the league in general felt like he's a backup quarterback. And so, for the media, I think, has made him out to be better maybe than what the league perceives from him. Combination of that and probably the fact that he's 3 years in, so he'd be facing a new contract. But in the end, a lot of these other teams, there's kind of quarterback carousel, right? So all these guys moving around. Russell Wilson goes to Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett then bounces to Philadelphia. Mariota moves here to Washington. You could just go round and round, like all probably 10 to 15 quarterbacks moved in all these different chess pieces in all these different spots, right? Well, in the end, where was Justin Fields going to go? A lot of these teams filled their spots. Baker Mayfield stays in Tampa. Atlanta brings in Kirk Cousins. So Justin Fields was potentially going to go to Atlanta, right? Well, now Atlanta doesn't need him. Then Pittsburgh was a potential destination. Well, they get Russell Wilson first, so they don't need him. They're not desperate to trade for him. And I think it's just what happened. And then, for Chicago, they probably just did not want him around anymore and just like, okay, what are you going to give us? Sixth rounder, okay, let's get rid of him.
Yeah, I guess the value just diminished when these teams started filling in their voids. I think I was just surprised that, well, I guess I'm just curious, were they debating this decision this entire time, or do you think they had a plan to ship out Fields? Were they always going to be locked in on Caleb, do you think?
I would guess that they were going to move him. Last year they had a chance to draft a quarterback and didn't. Gave Justin Fields DJ Moore, and he had a couple of moments. I mean, he definitely had a great game against Washington, if you remember.
Yo,
I mean, he had
DJ
actually
Moore was
back to back. Yeah, he
crazy.
had back to back games with four touchdowns. But overall, they're probably like, look, we've had this guy for 3 seasons. At best, he's been mediocre. Could we give him another season and look at him again? Maybe. But overall, let's go with a young guy who has maybe greater potential. And clearly, they go with Caleb. And of course, they got another receiver. So Caleb's going to walk in there with two stud receivers.
I was going to say, great situation for Caleb right away. He's got guys like Keenan, DJ, DeAndre Swift that just signed. What do you think the expectation should be for the Bears? Obviously, Caleb hasn't played a snap in the NFL, but I'm seeing playoffs is what he has to do, or else it's not a successful season. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it's Eberflus's third season, right? I think he's been there 2 years. So he's been kind of a coach on the hot seat. He probably needs them to either get to the playoffs or get close to the playoffs. Maybe not fair for a rookie quarterback. But they did load up by getting Keenan Allen. They've got two really good receivers. You mentioned DeAndre Swift, like they've got some, what appears to be some good skill positions. So I don't know who the quarterback coach there is or the offensive coordinator, but there's probably some pressure from them to have a pretty good year. And we saw what happened with CJ Stroud. So I think the expectations will be high for Caleb Williams.
I agree. And then lastly, I don't want to talk about them for too long because I don't like them, but the Philadelphia Eagles have made some pretty exciting moves. And I feel like Howie Roseman's always on it. I feel like he always gets the big guys. He always makes really good moves. Obviously, they've fallen short the past 2 years. Adding Saquon to that offense, what are your initial thoughts? Is this team, where do they rank in the NFC? Are they the
Yeah, I
best?
mean, skill position is definitely great. Look, Jalen Hurts fell off this past season. So will he bounce back to where he was 2 years ago when they made it to the Super Bowl? He definitely has the weapons. But don't sleep on their losses. I saw a breakdown, which you're a Commanders fan, you'd be excited. Kevin Cole is one of these analytics guy. I can't remember what site he's from, but he has this projection in terms of wins, loss, improvement based on the free agent moves. I mean, it's a total projection. And the Commanders were second best. I think Eric, I can't remember who was first. I could look it up on Twitter while we're talking. But the Eagles were actually below average. And yes, the glamour positions, whatever, were good. But remember, their center, a Hall of Fame center, retired. Their Hall of Fame defensive lineman and Fletcher Cox retired. And then some of their depth guys and lesser guys that aren't, these big names, but guys that were contributors bounced. So the big names, they bring in Saquon, and that is a big splash move. But they did have a lot of losses to the team. So I don't know. But what should make you really feel better is Dallas lost everybody.
I was gonna say, it doesn't feel like Dallas has really made a move in free agency, so
They picked up one guy. So
it's
this is the improvement index that Kevin Cole put out. It is a points-based improvement in NFL plus minus based on offseason roster moves and draft value. So the number one team, I probably should have remembered, Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. So you got the Atlanta Falcons. Washington was number two, Steelers three, Cardinals four, Bears five. The Eagles were seventh from the bottom.
Wow.
It's a projection, but don't look, Saquon's an upgrade over what they had, but they didn't have terrible running backs. You mentioned DeAndre Swift early in the season. He was really good. They had some depth at running back. I think that the loss of Kelce is a big, big loss. It's not something that like the average fan can really see. Oh, I mean, you'll see it if they show a highlight, right? Like if a center pulling, but he's a freaking Hall of Fame center. Not there. Fletcher Cox, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, but he's a stud defensive lineman. He's not there. And you can go through some of these other losses. So they're the favorite in the division. There's no doubt they're still the favorite in the division, but a lot of it is going to be about Jalen Hurts and whether he returns to form.
And if the tush push will still be a thing without Kelce, I mean, we won't know until we see it. But yeah, look, thank you so much for coming on, JP. Loved catching up about the Commanders and the NFL in general. We'll definitely find some time after the NFL draft to kind of go over what the Commanders did and everything. But always appreciate the time, and we'll talk soon.
All right, man, keep thriving, keep doing what you're doing, having fun with it, and best of luck.
Thanks so much.